Thank you very much for being here for the gospel meeting. And our prayer is that if you don't know Christ tonight as your personal Savior, you could be saved in the next 30 minutes. This is not a process. This is a matter of childlike trust, faith in one person, Jesus Christ, what he accomplished on the cross, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. So there's no reason for this evening to pass and you still to be in your sins. You could be saved tonight. Let's take a moment to pray. Our Father, we give thanks for the blessings of this day. We are so thankful that the majority of us here tonight know Jesus Christ personally as our Savior. We can go back to a moment when he became precious to us, when we realized what he did for us as our Savior. Father, thanks for saving us, but there are a number with us. They know who they are, and they're in their sins, and they're not ready. If the Lord was to come tonight, many would vacate their seats in this auditorium, but there would be too many left behind. And so we pray for the salvation of their precious souls. Wherever Christ is being preached, wherever, by whomever, and however Christ is being faithfully preached around the globe this day, we pray for thy richest blessing. But right in the auditorium tonight, we pray that there will be salvation blessing and that our Lord Jesus Christ will be honored just by the preaching of the gospel. Give help, we pray, in his lovely name. Amen. I have a question for you, maybe two. When someone is dead to God in their sins on a Sunday morning, but on a Sunday night, they are alive to God in Christ, what happened? What took place? Dead in their sins in the morning, alive in Christ in the evening. What would you call that tremendous transformation? When someone is blinded to the beauties of Jesus Christ on a Sunday, but on Monday, they are singing, "My Redeemer, oh, what beauties in that lovely name appear." What has happened between Sunday and Monday? What took place? Such a dramatic change. I don't know how you pronounce miracles here in Michigan. It depends. You might say miracle, or you may say miracle. We're going to talk about miracles tonight, and we're going to read some verses. When Jesus was here on earth, there were three amazing years when proofs that he was God in the flesh were seen everywhere he went and daily when he interacted with people. They saw that he was God in human flesh. And just weeks after the resurrection of Christ, the Apostle Peter preached in Jerusalem, and I wanted to look at that. Acts chapter 2. And verse 22. "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved or accredited or endorsed of God among you by" what? "Miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it, and so on. 3 amazing years. Some have estimated that during those 3 years of his public ministry here on earth, Jesus walked some 3,125 miles. And for the Canadians like myself, that is 5,029 kilometers in 3 years that Jesus possibly walked. Wasn't escorted in a chariot or any kind of a pastoral mobile of the day, gold lined or anything like that. Just the dusty old roads from Jericho in the south near the Dead Sea to Sidon in the north, a port city in Lebanon on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. He covered so much territory in those 3 years. And it seems like every day, everywhere that Jesus went, Jesus performed miracles, like real miracles that always benefited others. It wasn't just a selfish display. I'm going to show you my power today. Some cheap display of, like you see on TV sometimes. I want to show you what I can do. And if you send some more money, I'll do more for you. It wasn't like that. It was never a selfish display of his power or supernatural fireworks, dazzling fireworks to wow people. Jesus' mighty miracles were miracles of mercy and compassion that produce life, that produce peace in individuals, peace. And people were physically healed, they were mentally healed, and many were spiritually healed from their sin. God's heart of love, God's heart of tender compassion and mercy was displayed in these miracles. He rescued people who were bound by disease, by sin, people who were lost in their sins. He did the impossible. That's what a miracle is, when the impossible is done. Now let me ask you, does Jesus still perform miracles today? Does God do miracles in 2024? Let me ask you, when did the miracle take place in your life? See, anyone going to heaven has had a miracle in their life. Something totally outside of themselves, divine intervention. That's what a real miracle is. So, you pass as a Christian. Let me ask you then, when did that miracle take place? If someone says, I'm sorry, I don't understand. What are you talking about? Then that brings up a big question mark in our minds. Do they even know what God's wonderful salvation is if they don't think of it as a miracle? Anyone who has experienced the fundamental inner transformation that only God himself can do, they understand that's a miracle. When all hope was gone, when there was no one else to help, he saved me. He reached down and saved me. When did that happen for you? See, there's a lot of people that have a nice little story and they talk about how good God is, and God is good. And they talk about being Christian. I've never actually seen a counterfeit $50 bill. I do know they exist. I'm told that they look very real and very authentic. But then there are also some very low-grade look-alike $50 bills, and you don't need any training to spot them. But you know why counterfeits exist? Because of the value of what is real, what is genuine, what is authentic. So let me ask you again, when did the miracle take place in your life? Becoming a Christian is transformative. The Bible refers to a Christian as a new creation in Christ Jesus. There's no ambiguity about the identity of an authentic Christian. Not some gray, fuzzy experience. A Christian is one who was dead to God in their sins, but has been made spiritually alive through Christ. When did that take place in your life? We're just trying to be helpful, because it's not good to operate in the fog and this mist. I may be, I may not be. You need to know if the miracle took place or not. Many people have had a kneeling at the altar experience at a rally or a church service. Others say, I walked the aisle and I said the prayer. Some have had their come to Jesus moment in a jail. They can tell you a long story. Others will tell you that they made their decision for Christ, or said, I said yes to Jesus years ago. Or they were very young when they confessed Christ and they don't remember. I had somebody just email me not too long ago, in the last few weeks. And they're not here tonight. And she said, I can't remember anything about it. But Mom told me it happened going home from a meeting when Mom was talking to me. And now she wants to know, did it really happen? So whether you're 12 or 25 or 34 or 92 or 89, someone gets saved in Sarnia, 89, 90. Whatever age, it's still a miracle, because it means God reached into that person's life and saved them. Nothing of themselves. So some of those terms, I wasn't being critical of all those expressions that people use. I gave my life to Christ, because I've met people who said they gave their life to Christ and they were true, blue, authentic, genuine Christians. We'll be together for all eternity. So some of that terminology is okay. But the question I have to ask you tonight, I'm not using that terminology. A lot of terms are bandied about. I want to talk about the miracle of a new birth, or the miracle of grace, or the miracle of God's salvation. Again, when did the miracle take place for you? Open your Bibles again to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And I want you to ask yourself this question. Are we reading about a miracle here? Colossians 1 and verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made, now this is to Christians, hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13. Who hath delivered or rescued us from the power of darkness, and hath translated or has transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Do you know what we've just read? We've read about a miracle. Someone who was delivered from the power of darkness. Someone who has been transferred into the kingdom of his dear Son. When did the miracle take place for you? That's what you need if you're ever going to be right with God, if you're ever going to be in heaven. A miracle must take place. Rescued us from the power, the domain of darkness. It's impossible for us to do it ourselves. Impossible for anyone else to do it for us. A power greater than human power or natural strength is required. So when did that happen in your life? Romans 5 verse 6 says, when we were without strength, or when we were powerless to do anything for ourselves, Christ died for the ungodly. There it is. It's a miracle. Otherwise, we would perish. We'd be lost forever. Lost in this life and lost in hell forever. We had no strength. Christ died for the ungodly. Salvation is no small thing. It's nothing less than a miracle that must take place, or a sinner will perish for the eternal ages. So let me give you some, here's a technical definition of a miracle. A miracle is the suspension or reversal of the regularities of nature. We use the word frequently and pretty lightly when we want to say something incredibly good happened to us, when we were prepared to receive bad news. So some of you are in school and you say, oh, I wanted Miss Anderson to be my teacher. I was so disappointed when I found out I wasn't in her class. Her class was full. She already had a class size of 32 students. There was no possible way they were ever going to allow one more like me in the class. The next morning, the principal came to me and told me that she was transferring me to Miss Anderson's class. I told my friends it was a miracle. Was it really the miracle that I'm referring to tonight? Or someone is diagnosed with cancer and the doctor said she would die, but 5 years later she did not die. And so often we say it's nothing short of a miracle. But there's some medical people in the audience, they can correct me afterwards. But often the treatment works better than they estimated it would. And the progression of the disease did not accelerate the way they thought it would. And the person did not die. So that's a beautiful... I can understand if cancer came to my home and we got a clean bill of health, I would say it's a miracle. But it's a different kind, a lower magnitude miracle than what we're talking about tonight from the scriptures. We're talking about a miracle that there is not a slightest chance that you could ever be saved unless God himself saves you. That's the miracle that we're talking about this evening. The outcome in that cancer diagnosis was a positive interplay between variables. The positive interplay between variables. But when it comes to a sinner, totally dead in their sins, utterly unable to save themselves, no one on earth can save them, and they call out to God, oh God, save me. When God hears that cry from your heart, he will save you in a flash. He's listening. You don't have to say it audibly, and you don't have to say those words. But it's like God is bending over this audience this evening. He sees every one of you. But I don't think many of you realize just how desperate your situation is. You are dead in your sins and you're absolutely helpless to save yourself. When you get to that point and you call out, oh God, save me, I can tell you he will save you in a flash. Here's what Romans 10 verse 13 says. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He's waiting to hear from your heart. You don't have to say it audibly, as I've already said. He hears the faintest cry from the innermost recesses of a human heart. Oh God, save me. You could go home saved, sins forgiven. The miracle could happen tonight. A miracle is when something that is naturally impossible, not highly unlikely or improbable or rare, that when something happens outside the realm of scientific possibilities, something that only God's power is able to perform, that is called a miracle, where it enters the realm of God, not human. I said sometimes we use the term too lightly. I did look it up before I left home to see if you could buy this product in the United States of America. Kraft sells a product called Miracle Whip mayonnaise. And it's been around, for it's a miracle that has been around since 1933. It's not really a miracle. It's just water. I looked it up. Soybean oil, corn syrup, vinegar, corn starch, egg, salt, mustard, flour, potassium sorbet, spice, and dried garlic. And it's called Miracle Whip. Ah, that's what we're not talking about that. We're talking about when you are saved, when all of a sudden you realize He died for my sins. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for saving a sinner like me. That's a miracle. One moment in darkness, the next moment in light. One moment in the kingdom of darkness, but transferred, rescued, brought into, translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. That's a miracle. When did that take place? You know, this is not just preacher hyperbole or people who read their Bible. I looked it up in Merriam-Webster Dictionary. What is a miracle? It's an extraordinary event manifesting divine intervention in human affairs. Britannica says it's an extraordinary and astonishing happening that is attributed to the presence and action of a divine power. Wikipedia says a miracle is an event that is inexplicable by natural or scientific laws and accordingly gets attributed to something supernatural. What we're talking about tonight is God reaching into your life and delivering you, rescuing you. So, have you had that miracle in your life? To have a load of sin on you one moment and guilt, and then to be totally free the next moment. The load gone, the guilt removed. It's a miracle. A Christian is someone who has experienced the miracle of God's wonderful salvation. Someone we were just talking today in the corridors about, someone was waiting for an aha moment. And they were waiting for some like dazzling experience. You know, I have my testimony right here, I think. 50 years on the way to heaven. But really, for most people reading that story, they'd say, it lacks a lot of drama. Because I never robbed a bank. I never hijacked a plane. I never sold drugs. I don't have a great big story. The miracle is not in the size of the story or the drama of the story. The miracle is in who you are by nature, born in sin, and the next minute, a child of God in the family of God. That's the miracle. The moment you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not a great, that does, like I, some of you have heard of Peter Orszag. You've been around long enough, you've heard of that name. And so I always have to apologize when I was working with him. I don't have any kind of a story like Peter Orszag. And people aren't wowed by my story. Saved in 1969 in my bedroom at my bed and my knees. I was 12. But that night, I realized I am without strength. I can't save myself. And for the very first time in my life, I honestly cried out to God, "Oh God, save me or I'll be in hell." And you know what? He saved me. That moment. That night. Reba McEntire, I'm not really into country music. But she's a fairly well-known American country music singer and actress. She was dubbed the Queen of Country. She sold more than 75 million records worldwide. Since the 70s, Reba has placed over 100 singles on the Billboard Hot Country Song charts. She's been in films, on television. She owns several businesses. I read this about Reba. Here's what she said. I'll have to tell you, I was a wee bit concerned. "Everyone in my immediate family is saved, and I'll see them up in heaven when I die. I'm glad to say so. We were all very spiritual. I was baptized when I was 12, but my relationship with the Lord has been an ongoing thing for as long as I can remember. I've had people ask me, 'When did you get to know the Lord?' She said, 'When have I not known the Lord?'" Now, maybe if we talked to her for another 15 or 20 minutes, we would have found out she had something else she wanted to tell us. But a real Christian has a time in their life when they did not know the Lord, and a time when they started knowing the Lord. It's just that clear, because it is a... I would like to get audience participation, but I'm not going to ask for it. It would disturb the meeting. It is a nothing but a miracle. That's what we're talking about. God's salvation. He lifts you up. "I was sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more." How does this course go? "Love lifted me when no one else could help. Christ lifted me." That's what we're talking about. And this evening, as we close this meeting, it won't be by works of righteousness that you have done. You will not contribute to your salvation. You will come to understand that I'm absolutely helpless without strength. I am nothing but a sinner. And when you realize that, that's from your heart when you'll cry out, "Oh God, save me." And as I said earlier, God wants to save you tonight. The image in my mind is a God leaning out with his arms open, waiting to embrace someone who needs the miracle to happen, someone who needs to be saved. Paul said, "It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. According to his mercy, he saved us." So this evening, would you like to have your sins forgiven? Would you like to be saved? Would you like to say, "Oh, the miracle? You're talking about the miracle of God's salvation?" Yes, it happened at the Jackson Conference. I realized Christ died for me. Not a big, wonderful, fancy story on my part, but a beautiful story in his, that he gave his life for a sinner like me. And just by childlike trust, I trusted him as my Savior. May God help you this evening to call out to God for divine intervention. He'll save you. The work has been done. Christ died. He was buried. He was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. And everything has been done. He's just waiting for your distress call. He won't save you against your will. But when you ask him, he responds. Let's pray. Father, we give thanks for the mission of mercy. When we were absolutely helpless in our sins, we're thankful that Christ died for the ungodly ones. We're thankful that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he was raised again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Now, Father, the meeting is coming to a close. And there's some, if they died tonight, they would not be in heaven. As privileged as they are, they would lift up their eyes in torments. These same ones, if the Lord was to come tonight, they would just be sitting here like a piece of dead wood, totally unresponsive to the call. Father, May they see their tremendous need and their helplessness. And may they look to Christ for salvation. Part is with thy blessing be with us the rest of the evening and the hymn sing that follows. And thankful for this nice time together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we're just going to sing.